their secret mountain lair somewhere in Colorado. This is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast with your hosts, Jason Odell and Rick Walker.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Image Doctors Photography Podcast. I'm Jason Odell.
And I'm Rick Walker.
It's good to be back with you, Rick. Good to be back with our listeners. Hope everyone out there is enjoying their summer, at least if you're in the Northern Hemisphere. We've got a fun episode today.
Yeah, we've got a friend of ours who's a longtime listener joining us. And do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about the background of how you got connected up with Andy for this podcast?
Well, yeah, well, you know, we've always had this idea of bringing on friends of the show, you know, people who are listeners who to share their real world experience with photography, because let's face it, not everybody is a working pro and has all the, you know, and does everything for a living, right? So anyway, I mean, we just decided that I got a message from our good friend Andy McDonald, who we've known for, gosh, you know, a really long time since we were at Nikonians. He came on one of our workshops out here in Colorado probably 10 years ago now. We did a little Eastern Colorado things, and he's a photographer, not by his day job, and he's in the western part of Missouri outside of Kansas City, mostly a landscape photographer. And we stay in touch, so we're friends. And he messaged me a while back before the 4th of July holiday to say, I'm going to be shooting an air show and I've never done it. What can I do? You know, what should I bring? And, you know, do I bring a tripod or whatever? And so we went back and forth a few times because I could tell that he really had this opportunity. He wanted to do it right. And so I told him what I knew. Now he's shooting a Sony. So I didn't have any specific settings for him, but you know, do you bring a tripod or not? And so we got back and forth, and I started thinking, you know, this after seeing his photographs on his website, I said, you know what, this would be a good story to share with our listeners. So that's what precipitated it. So I reached out to Andy, and he agreed to come on the show, and we're going
to
go.
Let's bring him over to that.
Yeah, let's get Andy on the line. And hey, Andy, welcome to the Image Doctors Podcast. How are you doing, buddy?
Good.
Good. We appreciate having you on today and talking about your experiences with the air show and other recent shooting things will be great. I think our listeners will come away with some new things that they've learned.
Well, I hope so.
Well, and we go way back because we used to see you all the time at Nikonians events, and you came out to Colorado with us once about 10 years ago for one of our workshops. And since the last time we saw you, bring me up to speed. You a couple of years ago, you migrated over to Sony equipment, right? You have an A7R4, is that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
And you're happy.
I wanted to jump to mirrorless, and Nikon wasn't quite where I wanted them to be. And I'd been with Nikon for 20 years at that point, I think. And I went ahead and took the plunge. And since I was going to have to buy all new lenses anyway, I went ahead and picked up the Sony based on the recommendations of a couple of people I shoot with locally.
Cool. And so mostly you do, I know that on your website you do landscape
mostly. Other kind, what,
mostly, yeah, that's kind of your, I know you like train photography or at least hunting them down.
Yeah, I like going to shoot trains. I've booked two helicopter flights to shoot steam locomotives.
That's nice. Serious.
That's cool stuff.
Yeah.
You could have just got a drone, man. They probably wouldn't allow that.
You know, the first time I did it, 2010, the drones weren't really if they were a thing, they were a very expensive thing, probably more than the helicopter flight.
Yeah.
But it didn't even occur to me. And the great thing about the helicopter was I could chase for 45 minutes. And unless you got a really good drone, you're not going to do that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, recently I've been following your website stuff, and I saw that you we're going to be shooting at an air show. Was it in Kansas City, Missouri?
Yeah.
Or thereabouts. So you're in Missouri, and I know you had asked me for some stuff about gear. So I wanted to follow up with that and see, because I saw your shots and they're outstanding. I wanted to hear about your experience. What did you bring to the air show? And then start by going through kind of your experiences. So starting, you had a telephoto lens, right? Zoom?
I had a 100 to 400, which I've hardly used since I bought it. I use it for softball and baseball games for my grandkids for the most part.
It's a good use.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had the 100 to 400. I had the Sony A7R4 body. And I had done some research and as far as camera support, because I'm not the kind of person who's going to hold that combination for any length of time. And pretty much everything I read said a tripod was just going to get in the way and slow you down. And the other concern I had was that I was going to be in the photo pit, and I had no idea whether it was going to be standing room, whether we were going to be packed, what the situation was going to be. Turned out there were three photo pits, I think, and I was not in the center one. I was on the north end, and there was nobody in that one. There were six people there. I could have set up my entire office in there. So I did not take a tripod. I started out shooting handheld, and again, based on some tips from Jason and some stuff I'd read online, you need a nice slow shutter speed. I think they were saying under a 200th of a second to get the propeller blur. Otherwise, the prop planes look like they're all just kind of hovering in the air. And after about an hour and a half of that and looking at the back of my camera, I was like, these shots are terrible. They were blurry. There's obvious motion problems with me trying to hold that camera up, even with the VR going. And about an hour and a half in, I was looking at these pictures and I got super frustrated. I sat down, found a little shaded spot to sit down, kind of rest for a minute, and I was just really frustrated. And they were announcing that one of the stunt planes was up, and they were announcing it. And I walked back over to the edge of the tent and I look up and I'm like, oh, that is amazing. Wow. I wish I was taking pictures of that. So I thought about it for a second. I had already packed my camera. I thought about it for a second. I'm like, okay, I can either go home now because I couldn't get propeller blur, or I can adapt to this situation and go, I know how to get these pictures sharp. I'm just not going to have that blur. So I set the camera to auto ISO. I believe I picked aperture priority, F8, and then I set the shutter speed to 4,000th or 2,000th. I started out with a 2,000th, and then later on, I think when the jets started, I went up to 4,000. And doing the auto ISO, let the camera pick the ISO automatically to give me my shutter and my aperture. And I was trying to think, I tried to do it on manual, and that did not work the way I wanted it to. But the rest of the day went really well. No, I wasn't getting blur in those propellers, but everything else was really sharp. There are a couple of pictures where it didn't work out for some reason, especially on the ground. The camera would focus on the ground in front of me, the foreground. Mm-hmm. And so I missed a couple shots of the plane over on the runway because I was focusing on very, very sharp grass, but did not get the plane.
I hate when cameras enjoy that. They like foregrounds or backgrounds sometimes a little too much.
I know, and I would see it do it, and I'm like, okay, I'd raise the camera up a little, pull it into focusing, and then I'd move it back down to recompose. But I missed a couple of shots because of that. My experience at the air show wasn't bad. It's like everything else in Kansas City. It's so laid back. I know they had a lot of people there. Yeah, the temperatures were great. It was low 80s, which is ideal for July 4th weekend. And everything else was okay, but I'm really glad I stuck with it. If I had left at 10:30 and then gotten home and seen the other pictures people posted, I would have been just, beside myself with, oh, I should have stayed. The blue angels were gorgeous. So that was, in a nutshell, that was kind of my experience. There were a couple times where I actually whipped out my iPhone because they would do something like one of the teams drew a big heart with smoke in the sky. I'm like, well, I'm not getting that with a 100 to 400. So I would yank my phone out and go click really quick and grab a shot. So make sure you got your phone ready, because you never know what you might see that you're not going to get. If I had two cameras, the other option would have been to have, you know, another body with a wider angle lens on it, of course. So
my experience, I don't know about how you, but I think your point about the phone is important, because you're right. If you'd had another body, you could have done, you know, with a wider, you know, like a 24, you know, whatever, some wide thing.
Yeah.
You would have gotten a few more shots, but the number of shots related to the amount of weight you'd have to be carrying around to get those extra couple shots, to me, wouldn't really be worth it unless I was there on a professional assignment, which I would understand. Now, one of your shots that I saw on your website, because you have your Blue Angels and Thunderbirds, which is cool because they were both at the air show at the same time.
Yeah, that's weird. That's unusual. So weird. And first time ever in Kansas City. And the weirdest thing is, even days after the event, you never saw the Thunderbirds mentioned on the website. It's like they weren't there. They just showed up. Like, hey, guys, we're in the neighborhood.
Nice. Yeah, they come here every year, too. I usually see them. I missed them this year for whatever reason. I don't remember. But anyway, but what struck me was that you have a photo of the from the inside of a cockpit of a helicopter. I don't know what kind it was, but it
Chinook,
was on your website.
Chinook 47.
Okay. So, one of the big ones. But
yeah, 35
but
people.
You took that with your phone, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I got up and stuck my head into the cockpit, and I just got my phone out. I've got a 12 Pro Max, and I went to the wide angle, which I think is like 13 millimeter equivalent, and then put on RAW mode, because I knew, because of the dark interior and the very, very bright exterior, that I was going to need to be able to play with it in Lightroom. And so I just shot that in RAW and worked out perfectly. Wouldn't have been able to get that shot.
Interiors of aircraft, especially some of the older ones, are just so much smaller than I think most people would realize. That if you just have a normal size lens on and turn your head or, you know, to a different direction, there's a pretty good likelihood it's going to smack into some metallic object. I mean, they're tiny on size. Amazing.
Yeah, I don't know how they crawl in and out of those cockpits sometimes. They got to crawl over a bunch of equipment just to get into the seat.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's one of the things that struck me when I first, I have a iPhone 11 Pro, I think Rick does too, but that wide angle lens, that just opens up a whole world of stuff that you couldn't really do before. You were trying to do panos. And your point is, you weren't really in the cockpit. You could stick your phone in there and get this shot at an angle that probably would have been impossible with a DSLR or mirrorless, you know, a regular camera. Combine that with the really wide angle of view.
Yeah, if I'd had to use a big camera with maybe a 24 on it, I would have had to have shot a pano, and it would have been awkward. I would have needed probably three shots to stitch. And then because of how close I was, parallax was just going to be awful. And so the phone did the job. And it did the job. I didn't have any other equipment to do it with. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, especially when you go to an event where your focus was clearly, you know, using your 100 to 400, and that's a beast. And, you know, the amount of stuff you want to bring, I mean, do you really want to pack three cameras? Rick and I went to the air show in Indianapolis, and we had all kinds of stuff. And it's hot, and it's tedious, and you sweat out there, and you're doing a lot of hand-holding over your head, and it gets tiring. You can wear yourself out.
I was using a D700 with a 300-28.
Wow.
That was fun to handle. I did do it, but it got tiring.
And it's a long day. I mean, when the Blue Angels finally finished, I was like, oh, finally, get me back to the shuttle bus. I've been on my feet all day.
One thing I noticed also is it looked like, Andy, that you had a very good front lit angle for the air show, that you were mostly shooting front lit aircraft. Was that what you had?
Well, the morning was awful. We were staring straight into the sun, directly, almost directly.
That's
east,
a killer.
I think. So it's a killer. And I spent a ton of time in Lightroom trying to make those skies not look all that horrible greenish yellow kind of icky. So I was playing with the hue and the saturation and I was doing masking with the in Lightroom to try and play with the color temperature, a trick I learned from Jason a couple of years ago to fix a weak sky.
Oh yeah.
And then the hard part was making them all look consistent, because it seemed like every picture required different tweaking to try and make it the right blue, or a decent blue anyway. I took 2,430 pictures on that in 7 hours, and it works out to an average of five pictures a minute, I think. And getting through processing those took me, I don't know, 12 hours or something. It was horrible. There was a day where I was like, I can't look at these anymore. I just can't. But I kept slogging through. So I turned 2,400 pictures down. I think I've got 280 right now on the hard drive. And I may go through one more pass and, you know, kind of whittle those down a little. I tried to keep it under 10 for each of the regular performers and in the 25 to 30 range for the Blue Angels and Thunderbirds, because there's just so much going on with those guys. All the different formations and stuff that they do.
Now, you photograph some static displays too, right? Not just the cockpit stuff, but.
Yeah, I was wandering the ramp. Because we had the photo pit access, we were able to get in early. And so I was just doing little details of, wings. And I think I like it. It's a cool shot of the mechanical connection between like a tank and the wing of the plane, those tanks, auxiliary tanks they put on. And so it's just, the colors are really nice and had those nice shiny bolts. Something spoke to me about it. I love all the little symbols on the sides of the planes. I took a picture of one that's it looks like a cobra, but I don't think that's right.
It's a rattlesnake.
The name of the squadron.
Yeah, it's a rattlesnake. It's got a rattle on its tail. I think it's a rattlesnake.
Okay. So I like those little details. That's something actually I think I learned from Michael a long time ago, or maybe I had it in me and Michael just brought it out. Michael Marriott, I've done a lot of workshops with him and now I look for those little things everywhere. When I'm doing landscape work, I call them intimate landscapes. Usually they're about 2 or 3 feet across, ferns or little itty bitty details of waterfalls or, texture on a tree, moss. I love moss. So I try to apply that same thing when I go to like an air show or trains. A lot of my train pictures are of the little details, gears meshing together or how a chain connects to a piece of equipment, that kind of stuff. I posted a picture this morning one of the train groups I follow of that kind of thing. It's just a piece of chain draped across a boxcar, I think. Some kind of train car.
Yeah. No, that's great, because it can be very easy to get put all your attention on the thing that really drew you to something, like with the air show, the planes going overhead, and you can lose out on some great alternate shots that, especially mixed with the air ones, or if, going back to your landscape analogy, the big heroic landscapes, mixing the detailed shots in really can strengthen a portfolio.
My goal when I go somewhere is to get a picture that nobody else thought of. That's what I think about. It's like, how can I approach this in a completely different way than what most people are going to approach it? And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But it's just, you walk up to the edge of Yosemite Valley and you're like, oh my gosh, this valley is gorgeous. And you take the picture. And then you turn around and you start looking to see what else is going on. I went to the Grand Canyon in 2015, and it was after a Death Valley workshop with Michael again. And man, that guy works people hard on a workshop. The walking, so much walking. So I thought on the way home from the workshop, I'll stop at Grand Canyon. I was going to hit Painted Desert. I thought there was one. I went to Page to see Horseshoe Bend, and I just couldn't make the hike up and over to Horseshoe Bend. So I gave up on that. So I went on to the Grand Canyon. I spent a day in the Grand Canyon and I was like, I'm not getting this. I'm just not feeling it. My favorite picture from that was a shot I took of a tree at one of the overlooks, and all it is just the texture of the tree, and it's a beautiful black and white. And it's like, okay, there's a Grand Canyon over there, but my favorite picture is of a tree. So you just don't know what you're going to see when you're looking, you know, when you're not looking at, you know, the big picture. There's always something else to do.
If you were chatting with someone that was going to do an air show in a few weeks, are there any preparatory things that you would recommend to them to try out first, not at the air show, but separately? Things like,
well, the first thing I'd say is upper arm strength, very important. Mm-hmm. Upper arm strength, number one.
So do push-ups.
a friend of mine and I were trying to think of things we could go try to shoot in preparation for that. And she was like, well, we could just go to an airport. And I went, well, yeah, but most of the planes going up at the airport are not doing 500 miles an hour. And when those Blue Angels go by, they did a 500 mile an hour pass and I didn't take a picture. It was so fast that I couldn't take a picture. It just wasn't going to happen. And she said, well, maybe we could go find some birds and follow them around. Well, they don't move the same way. You know, you're going to get them jumping from tree to tree or whatever. In the end, we really couldn't think of anything. I do know that, and I learned this later, that a lot of times when the teams come in, they will do a dry run or a rehearsal of the show the day before.
Right.
So if you can get over there the day before, not only will you kind of get a feel for where everything is, which is a great idea if you've never been there before, but you can, if you have a good place, they probably won't let you on the grounds, obviously, but you can shoot from outside the airport and the planes are zooming around outside and stuff. And that would give you a chance to practice, you know, your following, and, you know, get a feel for how they move. Because the first couple hours, is anything where you go and do something new like that, the first hour or two is just trying to get a feel for how's your camera going to react. How are you going to react when a plane comes by at 300-400 miles an hour, 150 feet away? And you start building up the muscle memory to where you can start to feel like, I'm glad the Blue Angels were at the end of the day, because then I felt like I could keep up pretty well with what was going on and get some much better shots in the morning when, you know, the timing was off. Oh, my goodness, I'd try to get a camera in the frame and it would be like all the way to the left side or all the way to the right side. And by the end of the day, I was finally starting to, or maybe midday, I was finally starting to get a feel for, okay, if I'm moving like this, I can keep up with that and I can keep it in the frame and I can compose a shot that, yes, I'll probably need to crop a little to adjust later, but at least I won't be cutting off wings, which is what was happening in the morning. You know, I had half of a plane in many of the shots in the morning.
Yeah. So, one thing I think is,
I don't know what you would practice on beforehand unless you could actually go to the day before.
Yeah. Yeah, that is an option sometimes. I think one thing that's good to try out, because cameras vary so much in this respect, is, you know, what's going on with the image stabilization system, and are there different settings that you can use, especially if you're panning, or do you just simply want to turn it off? Because in a lot of cases, they'll fight you, you know, for fast moving.
I read an article on B&H about shooting air shows, and this was like 2010 or 2012. And he said he had to turn his VR off because it couldn't keep up with the panning. Mm-hmm. I left mine on and it seemed to work out pretty well. So, I mean, a lot has changed in 10 years or 10 years as far as VR goes. Mm-hmm. So, It worked for me. I thought about turning it off, especially in the morning when I was getting those really horrible shots. I'm like, well, turning VR is not going to help. VR off is not going to help me in this situation. I need it. I need every advantage I can get to try and keep this camera steady, this lens steady.
I think it's a good idea at the beginning of the air show when it's sort of the less, I don't want to say lesser subjects, but, you know, maybe the things that are, you know, it's not the Blue Angels or it's not the Thunderbirds or whatever, but this is where you can have the opportunity, if you're there all day, to figure out which focus mode, you know, like the group area autofocus versus single point options versus stabilization on or off, and just try it and see if you can see a difference in your shots. And again, we're blessed that, so you go and take 20 2,500 photographs, right? I mean, think about that. Like, you would have never had that with a film camera, right? I mean, you would.
Oh no! Oh my gosh!
Imagine what you were doing.
The film would kill you in the developing. Right. Yeah.
It would be, and then half of them you'd be throwing away anyway. So it's just, it's the way it goes.
If you were lucky. Yeah.
But,
and the ability to see what you're getting on the back of the camera is invaluable. I mean, I just love shooting digital because of that. You know that, okay, I'm doing this and this is working. I'm doing this. And oh my goodness, is this not working? Mm-hmm. So yeah, digital has been a boon for that. And I know it, I mean, it's 20 plus years on, we're talking about digital, and I still just love the fact that I can look at the camera and go, okay, nailed it. Or, need to do that again. That did not work.
Yeah, it is such a nice thing. Well, we really appreciate you joining us today and sharing your experiences with the air show and other things. Comments definitely resonated.
Great. It was fun.
Thank you so much, Andy.
This was more fun than I thought it would be.
Good to catch up with you. It's good to have an actual listener. I was surprised that you said you listened to our last episode. So thank you very much for joining.
I've listened to almost all your episodes. You guys have cost me so much money over the years. I don't know. I bought stuff. Yeah,
we'll
like,
have to
I got to have one.
We'll have to start running some Sony-specific things just to torture you a little.
Just to torture me. Just don't run an ad for that lens I want.
Well, we'll definitely put a link to your photos up on our Image Doctors Facebook page. It's so good to see you again, Andy, and hopefully we can meet again in person one of these days. We're not that far away.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be great.
Okay, well, take it easy.
All righty.
Thanks again to Andy McDonald for joining us. And, you know, hopefully we're able to do this again with him sometime on, you know, some other topic. You know, maybe trains. I know we've got some other listeners who enjoy those and some other things. But, again, thanks to Andy.
Always good to have a real listener on the program. And don't forget to check out all of Andy's photos at his website, which is persistentvisionphotography.com. We'll put a link to that on our Facebook page, facebook.com/imagedoctors. It'll also, of course, be on my website on our blog feed for the show. Until next time, happy shooting.
All right. Bye-bye.